those new educational techniques and the debates about them dealt with several aspects of education, it dealt with rhetorics and learning how to address a political assembly or a jury, but also the sophistic education dealt with some technical aptitude and occasionally with the military education. And in Athens, one of the main problems was the education of the infantry soldiers, who were in Athens largely inferior to the Spartan hoplites. That's the general context of the dialogue. An educational problem, a political, social, and institutional problem, which is obviously related to the problem of parisia. Who is able to play the first role in the city? Who is able to govern, and so on? But you see that this question, in this general form, is applied to the problem of education. In order to provide their sons with a good military education, Lysimachos and Menesias brought their son to someone who claims to be a teacher for this military formation. This teacher is a kind of technician, an artist, both an athlete and an actor. That means that he is very skillful in weapon handling. He uses his skill not to fight the enemies, but to make money by giving public performances and teaching the young men. This man is a kind of sophist for the military. And after having attended this performance, neither Lysimachos nor Menesias are able to know if this kind of training is really useful and efficient for a good education. Even after having seen through their own eyes the exploit of this military sophist, they don't know what to think about his teaching. And here we have the problem of the education criteria. If one is not well educated, how could one decide what is the good education? So you see that you recognize here in the field of education, of technical education, of military education, exactly the same problem as the parisiastic problem in the field of political institutions. We need someone to tell the truth in the political field, but how is it possible to recognize the one who is able to tell the truth? And we find this same problem now in the field of the education, and as you see, this problem of education is related to the first one. In order to get people who are able to tell the truth to the other citizens, we need people who are well educated. People who have to be educated have to receive the truth. They have to receive the truth from someone, from a teacher. But who is the teacher who is able to tell the truth? And this parisiastic problem is put in, how should I say, on abîme. On abîme. Not exactly the same.
There's no way to translate it.
On abîme. Well, okay. Since it still belongs to the problem of political parisia, but it is the reproduction of this problem in the field of the education, which is necessary for constituting political parisia states. But anyway, after this rather disappointing experience, Lysimachos and Menesias, After having seen the exploit of this military technician, turn to two very well-known figures of their time, Nicias and Archias. The first one was a very important political leader who won several victories on the battlefield, and the other The other one, La Caisse, has played no special political role in Athens, but was a rather famous general and well-respected general. So, Lysimachos and Mnesias turned to those two, Nicias and Laches, and they asked them what they think about the sophists' teaching and about this kind of military training they could observe in this kind of performance by this technician. And then Laches and Nicias, or Nicias and Laches, gave in turn their opinion, and it turns out that their opinion about this teaching, their opinions are completely contradictory. Nicias, who is a great general, who has a military experience, thinks that the sophist, this technician in military art, has done a good job, and that his teaching may be able to provide the youth with a good military education. And Laches, who is also a good general, disagrees completely. He argues that the Spartans, who are the best soldiers in Greece, never had recourse to such teachers, and he argues also that this technician in the military art is not a soldier and that he has never won any victory. And through the discussion we see the two features of the problematic. Not only ordinary citizens without any specific qualities are unable to decide which is the best education, but even those like Laches and Nicias, who have shown through their own life, through their own deeds, that they are competent, even those are unable to decide who is the good teacher, who is in the field of education, the one who is able to tell the truth. So now they turn towards Socrates, and they ask Socrates what he thinks. And their text, read. It is a text where Nicias and Laches agree, in spite of the fact that they are old, that they are very well-known citizens, that they have played a very important role in the Athenian army, they accept to refer to Socrates, and to ask him what he thinks about courage. And the reason Nicias and Laches give in order to explain why they accept the Socratic game is, I think, a portrait of Socrates as a paresthete. And the word paresthete is used in that. So, first, the reason Nicias gives in order to explain why he will accept the Socratic game. Is there somebody who wants to read this first part of the text? Nicias?
Yeah.
Nicias. You strike me?
You strike me as not being aware that whoever comes into close contact with Socrates and is any talking with face to face bound to be drawn round and round by him in the course of the argument, though it may have started at first on a quite different theme. He cannot stop until he is led into an account of himself, into giving an account of himself, and the manner in which he now spends his days, and of the kind of life he has lived hitherto. And when once he has been led into that, Socrates will never let him go until he has thoroughly and properly put all his ways to the test. Now I am accustomed to him, and so I know that one is bound to be thus treated by him, further than I myself shall certainly get the same treatment also. For I delight
Where is it?
Right,
is it my cus? Is it my cos?
This is.
I don't know about the pronunciation.
In conversing with the man, it's, you know, harm in our being reminded of the past or present of students. Nay, one must needs take more careful thought for the rest of one's life, if one does not fly from his words but is willing, as Solon said, and zealous to learn as long as one lives, and does not expect to get good sense by the mere arrival of old age.
No, yes,
so to me there's nothing unusual or unpleasant either in being tried and tested by Socrates. In fact, I knew pretty well all the time that our argument would not be about the boys, if Socrates was present, but about ourselves. Let me therefore repeat that there is no objection on my part to holding a debate with Socrates after the fashion that he likes. But you must see how Laches here feels on the matter.
Fine, thanks. So I think that in this speech by Nicias about Socrates, you have the analysis of the paresiastic game, of the unanalysis of the paresiastic game, from the point of view of the listener, or more precisely, of the interlocutor. This paresiastic game is, as you see, something very different of the paresiastic game we have in the political field and on the political scene, where an orator was supposed to know the truth, to be willing to say the truth, courageous enough to say the truth, try to persuade the assembly of this truth of what was said. Here. First point, we have a paresiastic game which implies a person-to-person relation. And you see that in the very beginning of the text, you strike me as not being aware that whoever comes into close contact with Socrates and has any talk with him face-to-face. Well, there is a problem because the manuscript tradition is not quite clear, and there is another possibility. Os an invitata Socrates e logo os per genei et desiasi genitiae legumina. Well, do you have any idea of the value of this interpolation or this supposed interpolation? What's your opinion?
You mean the what's right?
That's the logo os per genei.
No, I don't think that's a question of manuscripts. I'm not in that position.
So. Yes, but your feeling when you read the text.
The Gene is a little bit difficult.
Yeah,
that's a problem.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It doesn't make sense the way it is.
The French edition, Budet, maintains, preserves Logos per Gene, mm-hmm. and gives a meaning which is not stupid, but which is a little tiré par les cheveux, as we say. And he says they say something like, well, anyway, if we translate mot à mot, is that the one who is invitata Socrates, very close to Socrates, as close as possible to Socrates, and then the French translation gives, with as close as possible of Socrates, logo os per gene, by the logos, exactly as it could be, close to him by the genos. It's a little far-fetched, And if we continue, we have Kai Plesiadze Galegominos, and who approach him, Galegominos, by the dryad. Anyway, even if we put aside the logo os per game, you see that this game implies that there is a proximity between Socrates and his interlocutor, and that they have to get in touch with the other. Plesiadzomenos, visit, so please, yeah, the style, as sometimes the meaning of the sexual intercourse, which is obviously not sense, but it is the fact that two people get in contact. Or, for instance, Plesia Zestai is to become a member of the circle, to follow somebody, a follower of somebody. So, the one who... that's the first one. So, when you have to play the Socratic game, you have to get in contact with him, to get close to him, to get in touch. That's the first one. The second point is that in this relation, in this Socratic Parisistic game, the listener, the interlocutor, is, as you see, led by the logos. Me coestai hypo tutu pro a peri agomenon to logos. This that is led by the discourse of Socrates. From this point of view, the interlocutor plays a passive role, he is in a passive position, but there is, I think, a difference between the passivity of the listener, the hearer, in the political assembly, and the passivity of the Socratic interlocutor. Whereas in the political game, the passivity leads the hearer, the listener, to be persuaded by what he is listening at. Here, the interlocutor is led by the Socratic logos, is led to what? Prin an empece eisto didonai periutu logon, is led to give an account, logon didonai, of his own life. So that the logos, which leads the hearer, leads him to give an account, you can say that, give an account, to give logos, and a logos about his own life. And how does he give the logos about his own life? And the text says, now I am accustomed to it, so I know that for I denied Lysimachus in conversing with the man, and see no harm in our being reminded of any past or present misdoing. Nay, one must needs take more careful thought for the I cannot stop until he is led into giving an account of himself, of the manner in which he now spends his days, and of the kind of life he has lived hitherto. And then, a little further, you see, for I delight in my cousin conversing with this man, and see no harm in our being reminded of any past or present wisdom. Well, when we read this text, or those elements in the text, of course we are inclined to read them through the eyes or through the glasses of our Christian culture. And we may interpret this description of the Socratic game as a practice in which the discipline, the one who is under Socrates' direction, has to give the story of his previous life and has to confess what has been his wrongdoing. But I think that it is not the real meaning of this text. In fact, if we compare this text to other descriptions of the Socratic game in other Platonic dialogues, like the Apology, or like the Alcibiades, or like the Gorgias, we find very often this idea that with Socrates, and when we are someone is led by the Socratic discourse, Socratic logos, he has to give account of himself. But we see very clearly that it is not a question of autobiography. It's not at all a question of confessing the sins and the faults. We never see in Socrates, in Plato's dialogue about Socrates, we do not see in the portrayal Xenophon has given Socrates anything like the autobiographical account of life, nothing like the avowal of confession of sins and faults, like that. Giving an account, didonai logos, I think has a precise meaning. When Socrates asks a question about the life, the bios, he doesn't require a narrative. He asks a question about the logos, the reasonable discourse, which organizes, which gives form to the life, and by which one is able to justify what he is doing or what he has done. To give account, didonai logos, about his own life is not to give a narrative of his life, it is to show if you are able to show that there is a harmonic relation between logos, the reason, the reasonable discourse you are able to use, and the way you live. The Socratic inquiry does not deal with the events of the life, it deals with the relations between bios as life, as a style of life, and logos. It is an inquiry about the way the logos gives form, is, as says the text, the tropos to the life. And it is, I think, very clearly exposed later on in this same dialogue. Socrates does not want Laches to give, for instance, a narrative of his exploit during the war. He does not want Laches to give an account of his weaknesses and so on. He wants him to give reason of his own courage. You are courageous, says Socrates to Laches. Everybody knows that. You have shown that you were really courageous. Are you able to didonai logon, to give reason of this courage? It is to give the logos, to make appear the logos which gives form, rational, intelligible form to this courage. And that's the role which is this role of Socrates, to ask people to give a reason, to give account of their life. It is this role which is characterized in the text as the role of Pasanos. You find the word Pasanos. That is translated. Remember the people who just coming to them. Until he has thoroughly and properly put all his ways to the test. The word, the Greek word Pasanos, means touchstone. Is this stone by which you can authentify the gold and see if it is real gold or not. Socrates is the Pasanos, since he is the one through which we can see exactly what are the relations between a bios and a logos. A bios seems to be reasonable, virtuous, or a logos seems to be reasonable and virtuous. Are they real what they are? It is through the Socratic basanic role, touchstone role, that one can make this experience. Well, after this definition of the paresiastic role of Socrates. First, a relation, personal relation, face to face. Giving account of oneself is, that means to see what are the relations between the bios and the logos. And the role of Socrates as an us. Then, in the second part of this speech, Nicias explains, as a consequence of Socrates' inquiry, that having been examined by Socrates, one becomes willing to take care of the way he will live in the future, and in order to live in the best possible way, one becomes eager to learn, and to learn not only during the time he's young, but throughout his own life. And you see that with this experience, this Socratic experience, by which one sees what are the relations between logos and bios, his own life, and the principle, the rational principles, he becomes able to learn something, or to try to learn something, and this relation between the mathesis and the paresia takes now the form of a permanent attitude or a permanent willingness to learn something from the youth to the old age. So that's for the Nicias speech. And now the Laches speech, which gives another point of view on the paresiastic Socrates. Again, this is a point of view, not of the listener, but of Socrates himself, because the problem raises, how can we be sure that Socrates is this good basanos, this good touchstone, which may be able to reveal someone what are the relations between bios and logos. And who wants to read the Laches speech?
From the beginning of the
Yes, from I have but a single mind.
I have but a single mind, yes, in regard to discussions, or if you like, a double rather than a single one. For you might think me a lover and yet also a hater of discussion. For when I hear a man discussing virtue or any kind of wisdom, one who is truly a man and worthy of his argument, I am exceedingly delighted. I take the speaker and his speech together and observe how they sort and harmonize with each other. Such a man is exactly what I understand by musical. He has tuned himself with the fairest harmony, not that of a lyre or other entertaining instrument, but has made a true concord of his own life between his words and his deeds. Not in the Ionian, nor in the Phrygian, nor in the Lydian, but simply in the Dorian mode, which is the sole Hellenic harmony. Such a man makes me rejoice with his utterance, and anyone would judge me then a lover of discussion, so eagerly do I take in what he says. But a man who shows the opposite character gives me pain, and the better he seems to speak, the more I am pained, with the result in this case that I am judged, a hater of discussion. Now, of Socrates' words, I have no experience, but formerly, I fancy, I have made trial of his deeds. And there I found him living up to any fine words, however freely spoken. So if he has that gift as well, his wish is mine, and I should be very glad to be cross-examined by such a man, and should not chafe at learning. But I, too, agree with Solon, while adding just one word to his saying. I should like, as I grow old, to learn more and more, but only from honest folk. Let him concede to me that my teacher is himself good, else I shall dislike my lessons and be judged a dunce. But if you say that my teacher is to be a younger man, or one who so far has no reputation, or anything of that sort, I care not a jot. I therefore invite you, Socrates, both to teach and to refute me as much as you please, and to learn, too, what I, on my part, know. Such is the position you hold in my eyes since that day on which you came through the same danger with me, and gave a proof of your own valor, which is to be expected of anyone who hopes to justify his good name. So say whatever you like, leaving out of account the difference of our ages.
So, there's the Laches speech. As you see, this speech answers the question, what are the personal qualities, and what are the visible criteria which entitle Socrates to play this game, be the basanos of other people's life, and to be accepted by other people's life as a basanos for their own life. From some previous information in the beginning of the dialogue, we have learned that first, Socrates was not well known, that he was not one among the most eminent citizens, and that he has no special competence in the field of military training, with this exception that he has taken part in a certain battle in which Laches played the role of the general. So, what could be the reasons for Nicias and Laches, those famous generals, for accepting to submit themselves to the Socrates? And we have learned also, which is important, that Socrates was younger than Nicias and Laches. So, what would be the reasons why Nicias and Laches should accept to submit themselves to the Socratic game? And I think that in this text, Laches gives the answer. As an old soldier is supposed to be not very smart, to be not very much interested in discussions, in political or philosophical discussions, and so on. So, the reason why Laches accepts to play this game with the logos, with Socratic logos, take part in this game. It is the fact that there is an harmonic relation between what Socrates says and what he does. You remember that it was also the point in the Nicias speech, the problem of the relation between logos and bios. You remember that in the Nicias speech, the Socratic game appeared to be, are you able to give account of your life? Well, Socrates appears as someone who is able to give account of his life, or better than that, he doesn't even need to give account of his life, since it is quite visible in his behavior that there is not the smallest discrepancy between what is and what does. He is a musicos anel, and the meaning of the word here is very interesting, because most of the time, and in some of the Platonic texts, musicos anel denotes the man who has a culture, a liberal culture. Here, the musicos anel is someone who has a kind of ontological harmony, since his logos and his bios is in a certain relation, harmonic relation, and this harmonia is not only an harmonia, but a good harmonia, since, as you know, there were four kinds of harmony in the Greek music. The Lydian one was despised by the people because it was too graceful. The Phrygian one was despised by Plato because it was the harmony of the passions, the passion, it was passionate harmony. The Ionic one was an effeminate harmony, and the Doric one was the violent, courageous. And it's this kind of harmony that Socrates reveals precisely by his courage, the courage he has manifested in the battle where Laches was the general. And that's the reason why Laches says about Socrates that he's able of logon canon kai passes parisias. Accidental logon canon kai passes parisias in the translation. And I found him living up to any fine words, whoever relates to him. More precisely, the text says that Socrates, since he shows this harmony of existence, Socrates is able first to use logon canon, beautiful discourses. Beautiful, that means ethically valuable, reasonable, and so on, and that is able also, and that we can accept for him parresia, means that what he says will be exactly what he thinks, and what he thinks will be exactly what he does. That's the first aspect of parresia, and then, as a consequence, Laches is able to accept that this man who is much younger than him, Socrates, even if he's not youth anymore. He accepts that Socrates interrogated him, and he accepts, in spite of the fact that he's general and that Socrates is nearly nothing, almost nothing in the city, he accepts to be interrogated and cross-examined by Socrates. And that will be the reasons why Socrates is recognized by the interpreters as a parresiastic figure. Well, a few words about you see that we can recognize this parresiastic game, of course, not differences with the parresiastic game we have in the political life, and also some analogy and some proximities. As you see, the parresiastic figure here is still, as it was in the political field, the parresiastic figure is the man who is able, by a certain verbal activity, certain verbal behavior, to make truth appear. And he is able to do that insofar as he is courageous, courageous in his speech, courageous also in his life, but he is able to do that insofar as courageous, and to, he is able to confront his listeners' opinion or to criticize him if it is necessary. But, as you see also, the game is somehow different from the parresiastic game. The differences are, first, the fact that it is a personal relation between two guys. The difference is also in the fact that between the elements of the parresiastic game we have noticed in the political situation, between logos and truth, or between logos, truth, and courage, a new element now takes place, and this new element is the bios. The bios appears as being now the main element in the parresiastic game. In the political parresiastic game, you are the one who was supposed to know the truth, who had to tell this truth, even if it was not for him, and on the other side, there were the listeners. Here, we have something between two people, only two people, but the logos, the truth, courage, and the bios of one of them and the bios of the other. On the speakers, on the philosophers' side, on the Socratic side, the relation between logos and bios is an harmonic relation which entitles him to exercise the parresiastic function. And on the other side, on the interlocutor side, the relations between logos and bios is a problematic relation. Problematic first in this sense that the hearer, the listener, the interpreter has to give account of his life, has to show if his life is conform or not to the logos, and also in that sense that the work, the target, the aim of the paresthetic game is to lead the interlocutor to choose a kind of life which will be in conformity to the logos. The harmonic relations of logos and bios are on one side the ground of the paresthetic role of Socrates. It is also at the same time the visible criterion of the paresthetic function, and on the other side, the harmonic relations of logos and bios are the final objective, the target of the paresthetic activity, of the paresthetic game. And in this perspective, the paresthetist is not the man who is able to become a good leader of the city. The paresthetist now is the one who is able to be a real basanos, a real proof stone, touch stone, and that means that he has himself the quality which are to be tested in the interlocutor. What really his own relation to truth gives him the possibility to make appear what are the relation to truth in the other's existence. I would like to stop there and to only point one or two things. We have seen the problematization of paresia as a game between logos, truth, and genos, birth. We have seen that in the Ion, in Euripides, and we have seen what was this game between logos, truth and genus in the field of relations between gods and human beings. Then we have seen the problematization of paresia as a game, not between logos, truth and genus, but between logos, truth and nomos, law, and we have seen that in the field of the political institution, and precisely in the field of the isonomia, the ecological in front of law. And whereas in the first case the paresia appeared as being the right of well-born citizens, paresia now in the political field appears to be the personal quality of a good leader. And now with Socrates we see a third kind of problematization of paresia. We see the paresia problematized as a game between logos, truth, and bios. It's not anymore logos, truth, and genos. It's not anymore truth, logos, truth, and nomos. It is logos, truth, and bios. And we see that in the field of personal relation and of teaching relations. And this paresia is not anymore a right of well-born citizens. It's not anymore a personal quality of a good political leader. It is the ontological and ethical quality of the basanos, of the proof stone of the other's existence. And as you remember, in the first case, in Euripides, Ion, the paresia was opposed to God's silence. In the second problematic of paresia, the political one, the paresia was proposed to the demos will and to those who flattered the desires of the mob. And in the third type of paresia, the third paresiastic game, the Socratic paresiastic game, paresia is opposed to self-ignorance, and it is a fool.